What's up, literacy advocates? It's me, your host, Timmy Bauer, and my guest today is Jessica Slawerski. She became a teacher in 2004. Then about 10 years ago, she made the shift out of the classroom. She was coaching principals and overseeing literacy initiatives for a network of schools in New York City. Then she became a teacherpreneur, and she launched a growing science of reading-based virtual tutoring provider that's helping schools accelerate student literacy progress called Ignite Reading. She's also the author of Cancer Hates Kisses, a kid's book for moms going through cancer, published by Penguin. And we're going to be doing a whole nother podcast episode on my other show, Purpose-Driven Entrepreneur, where I'll be asking the origin story of that book and also the origin story of your company. But on this show, I have plenty of questions to you related to teaching reading. Jessica, thank you so much for being a guest on my show.
Thank you so much, Timmy. I'm so excited to talk to you.
I'm excited to talk to you too. So the last time you and I were talking, I asked you about a commonly held belief or position in literacy education that you passionately disagree with. And you were telling me that there's so many tropes out there around why kids don't learn how to read. So many reasons: poverty, parents, ELL, special ed. You're very much a proponent that every child should get equitable access to a highly trained reading teacher, but the system is not designed for this. We're a factory model of education. Jessica, what did you mean by that?
Yeah, so we have lots of excuses in education around the barriers to kids learning to read, and lots of ways that as educators, we are perhaps passing the buck or blaming parents, poverty, you know, oh, they're multilingual learners, when really what it comes down to is equitable access and every child being given access to the targeted differentiated support that they need in order to become a reader and crack the code on time, which is by the end of first grade, so that they start second grade as fluent readers ready to build knowledge. And the problem is that our education system is still very much operating as a factory model, which is the way that education was designed like over 100 years ago. And so it's this kind of one size fits all pitch to the middle. There are pockets where systems are working really hard to differentiate instruction for kids. And yet that differentiation still largely comes in the form of small group instruction. And oftentimes teachers are not supported to do that instruction well. But even if they are doing it masterfully, it is still a small group, which means that the individual needs of each child are not met. And with something that is as critical as learning to read, we have to be that much more targeted and precise so that kids learn to do it on time. And so I completely disagree with all of the excuses that we have around why kids don't learn how to read, and feel very strongly. And what we're proving with Ignite Reading is that it comes down to equitable access and targeted, differentiated instruction in a one-on-one model.
Yeah. So why are you bullish on a one-on-one model? Well, first of all, I would say I think that most teachers would agree that there is a need for differentiated instruction. I think that every teacher who hears that is going to be like, yes, of course we need differentiated instruction. But what is so different about what you're proposing and you're offering than what is typically meant when people talk about differentiated instruction?
Yeah. And I agree with you that teachers agree. And we see time and time again, when we partner with schools and districts, just the amount of gratitude from teachers and this feeling of like, oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you. We need this support because we can't do it all on our own. I mean, by the time I left the classroom, I was a really strong teacher and I couldn't even do it all. The demands are just overwhelming, and they've become even more overwhelming since COVID. And so when we think about differentiation, typically in a classroom, the best differentiation you will see that teachers are able to pull off, and even this is a tremendous feat, is small group instruction and, you know, kids getting pulled by the teacher to have a lesson and a particular skill set that they need additional support in, whether that be in literacy or in mathematics. What we're doing with Ignite Reading is we are recognizing that when it comes to learning to read and learning to crack the code of the English language is a code. Kids need systematic, coherent, explicit, direct instruction in order to crack that code to read with automaticity and fluency. It needs to be one-on-one because every child is coming in on a different point of that continuum of becoming a fluent reader. And if you want to make sure that they're all going to learn to read on time, then you have to be precisely targeting their individual decoding gaps and giving them exactly what they need and not wasting their time teaching them a piece of the code that they don't actually need to be practicing because they've already mastered that piece. Meanwhile, you have other kids who desperately need other components of the code and might be having to sit through a whole class or even a small group lesson that doesn't apply to them. And so what we're thinking a lot about is, what are the realities of a classroom that a teacher has to contend with? How do we come in as a critical partner in the work to ensure that every child is getting that one-on-one instruction while also honoring the other components of the science of reading? Because science of reading is not just phonemic awareness and phonics, it's also fluency and vocabulary and comprehension. And those are the pieces that we really want teachers attending to in tier one instruction. And the place where we can be a critical scaffold to educators is by tackling that skills component and giving the one-on-one instruction.
Something that's coming to mind for me is when I think about how, like, for hundreds of years, the model of teaching has been one teacher teaching to many students. What do you think is different about now that makes, in your mind, it so necessary that each student is getting specific one-on-one time directed at their skill gap? Like, what is different about today that makes this the way we need to be doing things? And then, how did you come to the conclusion that that's the case?
Yeah, great question. I think the biggest thing that's different about today is that we just know better. We know better about how the brain learns to read. We know better about how to teach kids to read. And we know that based on individual needs, if you want to really and truly ensure that all kids are going to get equitable access, there is no way to do it other than one-to-one. And that if you do that right from the outset, you save a ton of time and money downstream because you're not continuing to deal with this crisis that we have in our country where recent NAEP data shows that 2/3 of our fourth graders are not proficient readers. And so I think a lot about just the opportunity that COVID presented where kids were learning remotely. They were meeting with their teachers over Zoom. I myself am a parent of a second grader now, but she was in pre-K when schools first closed. And I was watching what was happening over Zoom. And I was so empathetic to everything that teachers were experiencing and how hard it was. And then I was also experiencing this as a parent, right? And I just kept thinking to myself, there is an opportunity here. And what could it mean to harness the power of virtual to re-envision how we teach kids to read and to leverage virtual to bring every child a highly trained reading teacher who precisely targets their individual needs when it comes to learning to decode and thus reading fluently? And then what would it mean to embed that as part of the school day, specifically during the literacy block and that independent reading portion of the literacy block? Because if you've ever been an elementary school teacher, you know that independent reading can either be the most magical moment of the day, or it can be the part of the day that you dread when things are going to go off the rails because you're having to ask non-readers to sit and read during independent reading. And so how do you leverage that opportunity? And so this model that we've created is one where these highly trained reading tutors are meeting via a video conferencing platform one-on-one, which means that the kids who are still non-readers are getting that targeted support for 15 minutes, which frees the classroom teacher up to then be pulling small groups of kids who might need additional fluency work, or who are doing a book club together, or who are doing some other literacy-based activity that they need that's going to strengthen their overall proficiency as readers. And so this is like so massively helpful to classroom teachers because they see that their kids need this support, but for whatever reason, they have not been either trained, they're not given the curriculum, they're not given, you know, the space or support. They recognize that they can't differentiate in the way their kids need. So it's just like a win-win-win situation all around.
What kind of pushback have you gotten on this model?
You know, we don't get a lot of pushback.
Okay.
I think that there, sometimes when I'm talking with a school district leader, their initial concern is, oh, you're eliminating teacher jobs. This is going to be a problem. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. I mean, like, I myself was a classroom teacher. I still deeply identify as an educator. And I look at what we're doing as a way to make teachers more effective and help teachers to not burn out, because there is nothing worse than showing up each day wanting to serve your students and feeling ineffective. And I believe that that is what underpins a lot of teacher burnout. And so we're showing up and we're instead creating a scenario where teachers and kids are getting critical support. And in partnership with teachers, we're then enabling them to be more successful in terms of their overall literacy results that they're producing in their classroom.
Yeah. Do you ever have any, have you ever, one thing that I could think of would be like, so the idea, you've got independent reading time, kids are getting this really enriching experience of, you know, falling in love with books and reading books. And meanwhile, over there, other kids are not getting to have that experience. They are doing dedicated instruction time on top of what is already a day filled with instruction time. Have you ever gotten any pushback like along that line, along those lines?
No. I'm smiling right now because what we actually have happening is that the kids who aren't in Ignite Reading, because they've already cracked the code and they can read independently, are like, what is happening over there?
Gotcha.
I want to do that too, because the kids who do Ignite, it's not just that they're learning to read from this highly trained reading teacher, they're building a really strong relationship. And so the joy factor is just off the charts. And so the other kids in the classroom are like having FOMO because they want their own tutor. And there's all this positive buzz around what it means to be an Ignite and to have an Ignite reading tutor. And so this other really beautiful thing that happens as a result of the program is that the stigma that can come with not being a strong reader is removed. It's like cool to be an Ignite. And then because it's one-on-one and it's just the student with their tutor versus being in a small group and put on the spot, there's this really safe space to make mistakes and to learn and to get better as a reader. And so there's this, as they're gaining competencies, they're becoming more motivated to read, and then they're leaving the space of Ignite and they're showing back up in tier one instruction as more confident, more persistent, more willing to take risks. And classroom teachers are noticing not only these social emotional learning benefits, but also the ways in which kids are accelerating the pace at which they would otherwise be learning to read.
Why do you think it needs to be a person and not like a program or a game or, some sort of computer program?
Yeah, we get this question a lot. And actually, going back to your other question about pushback, I would say the biggest pushback we get, especially coming out of the year of remote learning, is like, you want us to put kids on a computer for 15 minutes and do video conferencing? We tried that. That doesn't work. And I'm like, no, this is different. And the nature of having a real human working with you is core to our model. And the reason it is so important and the reason that it is so different from, you know, AI or just like an ed tech app that is going to teach you allegedly to read is because at the end of the day, learning to do something brand new is hard. And as humans, whether we are little kids or grownups, we don't like doing things that are hard, right? And so when you have an edtech app that is not a real human and you're being asked to do something hard that doesn't come easily to you, you're going to want to opt out. And so, you know, teachers all know this. You put the app in front of the kid and it's like, well, this is hard. I don't want to do this. And the next thing you know, you look over and their head is on the desk and they're not doing it. And I've even experienced with my own child who is a hyper compliant, highly motivated learner who, when she was sitting in front of an app being asked to do something that was hard for her, she even got frustrated and shut down and like pushed the device away and walked off. The difference with a human is that it is harder to opt out. And when there is a relationship with the human and it is a caring one, little kids want to please their teachers. And so that trust gets built, the relationship gets built, and the kids are more willing to try things that are hard because they're being lovingly coached in the moment by this person that they have a relationship with. Like their own personal cheerleader. And so they learn to fail safely. They learn to take risks. They see that in doing those things, they are gaining competencies, and that feels really good. And they're going from, in some cases, not knowing how to read a simple word like sit to, you know, a month and a half later, beginning to read sentences and paragraphs. And each day, as the relationship builds and their competencies build, that motivation builds. And so actually, Ignite Reading becomes the precursor to kids being able to fruitfully engage with those other apps because they've got more confidence and more motivation as a result of working with a highly trained, very caring, real human who's been teaching them to read.
Yeah, I love it. And speaking of teachers, you said something when we were talking last about the philosophy of teaching teachers. And you were like, you said something to the effect of so many kids aren't learning how to read. And we're still talking all up here about the science of reading, where teachers need practical curriculum to get the work done. What did you mean when you said that?
Yeah, so a bee in my bonnet is that, you know, in education, leaders will spend a lot of time talking at 30,000 feet about what needs to be done, or yay, we're all talking about the science of reading. But where the rubber hits the road is with implementation and what is actually happening in a classroom each day. And so while it is incredible that we have this tidal wave of legislation being adopted around science of reading practices and around teachers getting access to courses about the science of reading. That is very different from teachers getting the evidence-based curriculum and the intensive coaching and development that is necessary to implement that curriculum with complete fidelity so that it gets the results that it's designed to get. And so I am deeply empathetic to, you know, what's happening in districts with all of the change management, where you see a lot of adoption of new science of reading aligned curricula. And then you see these gaps because it's one thing to adopt it. It's another thing to really, truly support teachers through that change management process. And in the meantime, kids still need to learn to read. And so as we've designed Ignite Reading, it is with the intention of being that foundational skills safety net for kids while teachers are learning, so that they have the space and the support to really deeply learn this and apply it to their practice, while in the meantime knowing that their kids are going to be okay, their kids are learning to read. And so it's again, just this really great symbiotic relationship. And like the metaphor of our name, Ignite Reading, yes, we are trying to ignite early literacy and ignite young readers. We're also working to ignite the literacy ecosystem in a school. And these kinds of transformational changes do not happen overnight, right? It takes time. And so when we're partnering with schools, we're there as essentially like an on-ramp while teachers get their sea legs. And then it is our goal to get the work going. And once it's sustained, to then be able to go on and ignite another school in another district.
I remember when I was studying to be a teacher, I think in my whole time at college, I think I had like one unit of one course on like things like what are phonemes and the different kinds of things that you learn around the idea of trying to teach a young child how to read. But I barely remember any of it. And I think that's most people's experience coming out of college studying to be a teacher. So it makes sense to me why you would need to have specialists that are like all they focused on is how do you get somebody to first grade level of reading? What's your philosophy when it comes to like, are you finding what are the qualities that you're looking for in the people that you're finding? And then what's your philosophy around how to build people that know how to get any child to first grade level?
Yeah. So, oh my gosh, I have so many things to say on this topic. Let me start with how we develop our tutors. So because we embed during the school day, which is when teachers are teaching, we do not rely upon certified teachers for our model. In fact, what we've done is developed a masterclass in becoming a highly skilled reading teacher. And we work largely with non-educators, many of whom are college kids, to put them through a 10-week certification course that is comprised of 60 hours of professional learning in the why, which is the science of reading, and the how, which is an evidence-based foundational skills curriculum written by reading researchers. And in fact, this curriculum, Timmy, is one that school districts in this country use. And teachers will use it to teach small group differentiated instruction. We've merely adapted it for one-to-one virtual. And so they get this 60 hours of paid professional learning. But like you said, if that is in a vacuum, it's not going to be sticky. They need to build working memory. And so coupled with that is another 60 plus hours of tutoring practicum experience where they are applying what they're learning to these 15-minute tutoring sessions. And then wrapped all around that is a multi-pronged coaching and development model where our literacy specialists do a combination of real-time observations and modeling as necessary. They do video analysis with time-stamped rubric-aligned feedback. And then they look at patterns from real-time observation and video analysis to then distill targeted differentiated coaching groups for our tutors. Because you'll have one tutor who is totally crushing the lesson. They're pronouncing all their phonemes correctly, but they're kind of boring. And these are little kids. You need to be engaging. And so they might not need more support around how to execute a lesson. They need support around what we call throwing the party and being engaging. And then you'll have other tutors who are engaging, they're executing the lesson, and now they are ready to move into being data-driven instructors and taking their instruction to the next level. So we're thinking about all of that. And what that means is that they emerge from this 10-week period really masterful reading teachers. And our model has been so effective, and we know it's effective because it's playing out in our student achievement results, that we now have teacher prep programs across the country coming to us saying, we want to put our pre-service teachers through your model because your model is ensuring that they're not just learning theory in a vacuum, they're applying it, and then they're going to be prepared to step into a classroom and know how to do baseline assessments, how to differentiate instruction, how to do progress monitoring, how to do DIBLs, and be such effective reading teachers, no matter their grade level or content area, which as a nation, that is what we need.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking as you were saying it, I was like, man, if for nothing else than just the fact that as a country, we need more highly skilled reading teachers. I love it for just simply that.
Yes, and let me follow in on that point because my grander vision in building Ignite Reading is this world in which as many people as possible know how to teach kids to read. Because when you know how to teach a child to read, it has implications for your parenting someday, should you become a parent, or even if you don't become a parent, if you are an aunt, if you are an uncle, if you are the person at church that people know knows how to teach kids to read. You are that person in your community that others will come to when they need help or when they need an advocate for their own child.
I mean, there's just so many statistics around what literacy does for a person's life, trajectory of their life. And you just need somebody in that child's ecosystem who really understands how to teach reading, who can teach them. Otherwise, I mean, my goodness, I had somebody on who was telling me, I don't remember the statistics off the top of my head, but they were stats around like illiteracy and how it relates to your percentage of winding up in prison. And it was like really, really scary. It was like, if you are X amount illiterate, you are this much likely to end up in prison. And the stats were like shockingly bad. So yeah, I love it just for the fact of getting more people in this country who can really understand how to teach kids how to read. One thing I wanted to ask you about, just because my listeners are teachers for the most part. For teachers that are listening that just don't have the support of their leadership to get something like this in their school, what is your advice to them?
Oh my gosh. It is so hard to be in that position, and my heart hurts for them because I was that teacher my first couple years of teaching, and that was like a big inspiration for the path I've been on. This desire to just, I don't want any teacher to ever feel the way I felt in my first 2 years of teaching, wanting desperately to serve my kids and feeling utterly ill-equipped. So, some practical advice that I have. First, there is a podcast right now called Sold a Story by Emily Hanford. It is an eye-opening, fantastic listen. And I think that the more people listen to this, the more we can have really honest conversations about this crisis and what to do about it. And so, starting with that podcast will help further educate them around the issue so that they can speak truth to power within their schools and districts. Secondly, the company that I used to work for as CEO is a nonprofit publisher called Open Up Resources. And You can go to their website, and there are two curricula. One is called Bookworms, and the other is called EL Education. And those curricula are openly accessible. And the Bookworms curriculum in particular, the foundational skills component of it is a book that can be found on Amazon called How to Plan Differentiated Reading Instruction. It is a $25 book, and it is the curriculum that underpins Ignite Reading. And in my experience, it is the easiest foundational skills curriculum to learn to teach, and it is the most cost-effective and the most just like aggressive in terms of how quickly it gets results. And so that is why we adapted it for Ignite, but it's a book that can be found on Amazon.
What's the book called
again?
So
it's How to Plan Differentiated Reading Instruction.
Okay.
And it's the second edition. It's Walpole and McKenna. And that cool. book, you can even search on YouTube and you can find these really practical videos that the reading researcher, Dr. Sharon Walpole, created that show her teaching these lessons. So it can be relatively easy without professional learning to kind of figure out how to do this. But in the event that a teacher is able to galvanize their school leadership team to get the professional learning, that is always the best way to learn, right? Especially when it's high quality professional learning. But that would be my advice.
Awesome. I love it. Jessica, this has been a great conversation. I've loved talking to you. Where are you most active on social media, and where would you like listeners to go to check you out some more?
Yeah. So listeners can go to our website, ignite-reading.com, to learn more. And they can email us from the website if they want to have a conversation and get more information about the program. And on social, they can find us on Twitter. And I'm really excited to engage with your audience. I'm super grateful for the opportunity to tell you and your audience about this program. And I am so, so thankful for all the teachers who listen to this podcast, who are fighting so hard for equity in education and literacy as a social justice movement.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, Jessica, thank you so much again for being on.